sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am not. My name is... We all know it. Let's all say it together. Everybody say it in the comments. Sound off. I don't remember my name anymore. It's been a bit.
Capped off with hail. Just a flick of 20 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
It's because I got attacked by some older woman who wanted to sex me up with a slug. Now I don't remember anything.
Is this because you were in Mid-Wilshire or Miracle Mile?
No, doesn't that sound a lot like the movie we're in?
Life imitating art.
And I'm Johnny. How's everybody doing today?
Hi, Johnny. Welcome to our monthly special Crash Course 4 by Kornberg, or...
The Cronin and Bonin Athon.
This week we are re-reviewing Shivers. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words, give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. So, I fucked up.
Didn't Brood come out after this movie? Why are we reviewing this movie after...
When great it's question. Before a movie? John, I fucked up. Not sure what I did, but oh. I lost the recording. So
you lost the files
yes.
that were in the computer.
Or yeah. And we are in going to have to shame.
Shame. Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Yeah. That's my punishment for fucking up and ruining the file. So technically, we reviewed this before The Brood, because everybody loves when we talk about how the sausage just made around here. We tend to record these early, at least a couple of weeks, to give us a little runway, because, you know, our schedules can get busy. And so we're usually a couple of weeks ahead. So we recorded Shivers already. I fucked up. I lost my side of the file. And now we're re-recording Shivers, David Kornberg.
And now we can sound super smart, and because we know everything now.
Technically, we've completed the course, so we're expert level now, Kornberg fans.
It's true. I gotta say, this is maybe if we had to rank all four, right?
Yeah.
This probably comes in. You know, the way we initially had them reviewed, it was probably the ranking I would give them. Stereo is obviously number one. No, I'm just kidding. Stereo would be probably at the bottom. Videodrome would be number one. Brood would be number two, which is a tough one because I feel like this movie is more interesting as you're watching it. And Brood, I gotta say, is kind of boring for a while, but then the second half of the movie really kicks off and it's really good.
I agree with that list. Only I would swap Brood and Shivers. I was more pleasantly surprised with Shivers than the Brood, though. I thought Brood was incredibly like competently made, really. You know, fun throughout. I'm sorry, like towards the end was like the best part of the movie, in my opinion. Like the culmination, the climax of it. And, you know,
it felt very. I think we had talked about it feeling very much like a newer style, like a contemporary traditional horror movie.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. And then now I guess like horror movies are really trying to push it. Like even Talk to Me was pretty... there was a scare every scene, at least.
Yeah, Brood took its time. It almost felt like a drama. Not a melodrama, but it felt like a drama before it kicks into the horror.
Yeah.
Shivers is more, I think, more fun. More in the vein of more experimental. More fun. Like Invasions of the Body Snatchers or like Night of the Living Dead. Kind of like exploitation, but yet it's high-minded. And it's topics, how it's like making fun of like
sex. Like
it's making fun of, you know, yuppie people buying these like condos. And I would even argue this movie makes the case that like this parasite that gets into them almost frees them because they become more sexually awakened and more like uninhibited.
No inhibitions. It drops. It's been a long week. And Rolando's saying it takes a big phallic penis thing to free the world. Yes, is what Rolando's trying
to say. Me too, me. I don't care. Yes. Just cancel me, please. My hot takes.
At me to him.
I think it's more, but kind of done through this prison. And the fact that this is probably, in my opinion, from what I've seen from Kornberg movies, like his funniest movie. It's wild and funny, yeah, and experimental. Probably. Is that tight?
That's how I feel about what you said. Thank you.
And for that, I was pleasantly surprised. And so I actually got a little bit more out of it than The Brood, which I did enjoy.
Nice.
You know, actually, I've enjoyed everything we've reviewed from him. No misses, really. Yeah.
Right. Okay. You know, yeah, no misses. Kind of like when we went to go watch Thumpasaurus and we didn't have any of our misses with us, and they played a set and there was no misses in that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that worked. That worked. I did well. I did good. I dare anybody to come up with something as clever.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, John. That was your gift. Your Christmas gift.
Thank you. It was great. Yeah. Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
I'm sorry you were having a bad time for
his having the worst day of my life, literally, by the time of the show. But I really enjoyed... Dumpasaurus, they're an excellent band. Everything after that was terrible.
Which had no
misses. All the songs were great, right? Like it was like I liked all the very theatrical. I think we kind of knew going in, you know. A lot of like they have like a video screen behind them and they're like projecting stuff and weird stuff, which kind of matches the tone of their music. What would you compare them to?
I don't know. They kind of remind me of like a bunch of different bands. Like, I would say kind of like Primus, kind of like Devo, kind of like Gwar. Like, there's a high musicianship, but high theatrics. There was a very wholesome thing where they had the Silver Lake Observatory
choir.
Had those kids play. And then had them come out for their final song too.
I read on Instagram that they for the LA Marathon they were gonna cover the song. You know, what's the name of their hits? Strutton. Which I think they found out about. They helped them. You know, work the song, and then they invited them to do, you know, to open for them.
Oh, that's cute. Okay.
We were a little put off, huh? We walked in. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah. It was unexpected. We were like, oh, okay. Which they're fine. They're great. You know, it's not... It is one of those things where this is great. This is a really wholesome thing.
I love School of Rock.
I would not voluntarily go to this thing unless my nephew was in it, but you know. Yeah, like it wasn't like we saw a lot of parents in the crowd.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we got like a PG-13 performance or version of their performance because they had to be mindful of children.
It was an all-age show. I did remember that when I bought the tickets. He did say fuck at some point. He didn't go bear ass. Yeah. That was a little disappointing. I was expecting the bear ass.
Yeah, like, why even play the song?
He didn't even put chaps on.
But what if it was like, all the kids were like, we'll go chapless, assless chaps also. And he's like, no. in fact, we're going to give you extra overalls.
Yeah.
But no, that was a great time.
A lot of dancing.
A lot of dancing.
Yeah. They're a very infectious band. Very, very good live. Their show just, I felt like, flew by. Like, I don't know if you felt the same way, but like.
Yeah, no, totally. It when that's because they played
like
for a 45 while, too.
Minutes. So, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe a little longer.
Maybe close to an hour.
But yeah.
Excellent band.
And yeah, it was great. Had a good time. And then yesterday I was like, I should take it easy tonight, so I went to go watch the Meat Bodies.
Yeah.
A little bit heavier rock band.
Yeah. Dude, I think one thing is what was so a little off putting when we saw Thumpasaurus is that we're used to like going to like hard shows where we might have to like fight some people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was just like dancing, fun time.
Oh, I will say there was some dude next to me who looked like he was either like on a lot of drugs or drank too much, but he was just there. And then halfway through the thing next to me, he just looked sort of grumpy. And I was like, oh, what's up with this dude? And then he finally walked away. But I was like skimming through my photos and I didn't realize that I accidentally took a fucking photo of him. It looks like my flash went off. So I don't know what happened with my phone, but I was like, what the fuck? I'm like bad with this phone. I have like 1 million screenshots because I keep trying to just grab the phone and I'm like, why does it keep taking pictures of the screen?
But
just like this old man over here, like, I don't get it.
But does your phone play the voicemail over your screen?
Oh yeah. Or what was it? It transcribed your fucking voicemail in real time. I was like, what?
Over a closed screen. Isn't that the craziest shit? Like it was reading it to me. It's like AI shit. Don't fuck around with it.
Yeah.
That was a weird thing. And I have an older generation phone. I have no idea why it's doing this.
Yeah, I think we need to throw all our phones away. Except mine can take pictures of stars. So
and take pictures of random people's faces.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it was you because you didn't really have, I was like standing behind you. You didn't have your phone out the whole time. You weren't being like obnoxious. You were just like, yeah.
No, yeah. I try not to be that person. It's just like moments where I wanted to send it to my older brother because my brother, Mauro, you know him. He is the reason we know this band, right? Because he's like, have you heard of this band? And then I fucking showed everybody because I couldn't get over that song Strut.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, what are we doing?
That brings us to Shivers.
John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For the Bonin and the Cronin and Boninathons. Second or fourth third installment.
Redux.
Redux. Coming in at number 3, the origins of Mothman.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I don't understand the second one anymore. Coming in at number 2. Just trying to make this up in my head because I don't understand what I wrote here. Cronin Bonin sexy times. There's a crochet woman in the back of the scene.
More like paper mache
Yeah. Something. I don't know. And coming in at number one for the Cronin and Boninathons installment of Shivers, sexy phallic worm will burn.
Yeah, it's true. Okay. What are your first thoughts, John?
I wrote something about anti-rape and alcohol.
Just in general? That's just you're against it?
Yeah, or I felt like, I was like, is this Cronenberg's attempt at, like, making an anti-rape and, like, alcoholism?
No, I mean, he's written, there's a lot of, like, explicit sex in all his movies after that.
Yeah, but all those were, like, consensual.
And Crash?
Yeah, they know what they're signing up for.
Videodrome? The Fly?
The Fly.
The one that makes the least sense.
Yeah, I don't know. The alcohol thing is because, obviously, Barbara Steele is in this famous...
Yeah, what is Barbara Steele doing in this movie?
And if you ever find the...
I have no idea what she...
If you ever find the old files, don't bring them up, that I was like, no, this looks like the chick from Black Sunday.
Yeah.
Which is my bad. I don't know. So, Barbara Steele, who is still very much alive and was an 8.5... Mm-hmm.
Or Black Sunday.
Black Sunday. Which Shivers came out 15 years after Black Sunday.
I don't particularly know Barbara Steele's career, but was she like, you know, washed up at this point? Or because she has...
You make it sound like she... hasn't done anything, which she's obviously just been in something in 2023.
Okay.
So she is not washed up. She is still working. She was in Piranha? I don't know. But she would have had to have been famous before this, right? And I remember when we reviewed Black Sunday, we talked about how she had a horrible time on that set because the Italian director was very...
Yes. Yeah.
Rapey towards her and stuff, right? To convince her to do certain things. And she was the only American on set?
She's American?
I think she was the only American on set.
In Black Sunday.
Ah, yes.
She's English.
Oh, she's the only English person on set.
Yeah.
She was in the 39 Steps.
Okay.
She played extra. She played a extra. No, I don't know. I don't know what makes her famous.
I think she...
I would say Black Sunday. She did some movies before that, but...
I think she kind of... is kind of like more of a cult star. Would you characterize her as that?
Yeah. She was also in an Elvis Presley movie called Flaming Star.
Yeah.
She wasn't a big part. She was in The Pit and the Pendulum.
I think she was just like a very... Her appearing in this movie kind of symbolizes like Cronenberg's like... I think part of it... Wasn't it because part of it? Because they needed to like... sex up the movie a little bit so they can get a European release was part of it. And I think she's kind of the reason why she was brought in for those specific reasons. And she does end up having like, she is naked, right? At some point in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. She seduces, what's her face and turns her into one of the slut people too.
And so I think part of, this was Cronenberg's first feature, so a lot of, at this time, to get the movie made, you had to like incorporate sex and violence into it. But he's, you know.
Well, no change there.
You know, no change there. He did have to like, but it still had a very, like, very biting, thoughtful script he was making. He just had to like violence it up and sex it up. So, 'cause this movie is incredibly funny. Like, it's a very funny movie.
Yeah, it's a... Sorry, excuse me. Yeah. I mean, she was in a Joe Dante movie.
Okay. Piranha, okay. Joe Dante made Piranha. Did not know that.
Joe Dante is the same age as David Lynch. I had no idea. Well, I mean, he fucking did Inner Space and Gremlins and The Howling.
Yeah.
And
all those.
Yeah. Which, I know this is off topic, but I was rewatching for, like, well, I don't know, the millionth time, The Princess mm-hmm. Bride. And it's always funny. What's his name? The, you know, everybody's going to tear me up in the comments for not remembering everybody's fucking names. There's Wesley, and that's all I remember. The king.
Yes, Christopher Guest.
Not Christopher Guest, uh-oh, but the other guy. Not Christopher Guest, but the other guy. The actual king.
Who's the fucking actual king in this movie? The Princess Bride? Andre the Giant?
Yeah. It's a no, it's what's his face that played the bad guy in The Howling. The vampire in The Howling.
The vampire in The Howling?
I got that wrong. Think about it. The Howling. No, not The Howling. Fright Night. Fuck.
Yes. That actor is not... I know who you're talking about now, but he's not big enough actor to remember his name. He's a character actor.
Chris
Sarandon.
Yeah,
he's a character actor. I don't... It's not... Outside of those two movies, I don't think he was really into in anything else. Kurt.
He was the voice of Jack Skellington. Not the singing voice, but he was the voice of...
Yeah, but I mean, that's... It wasn't his voice that is the reason why that's a beloved Christmas movie. That's just, I mean, I'm sure it's somebody's, but it's not the consensus general public. I'm saying those are his two biggest roles.
Yeah, probably. Because when you see a picture of what he looks like now, you recognize that face way more now.
Than Andre the Giant?
Oh, he was in fucking Child's Play also. He was the cop that was trying to stop the whole thing.
Yeah, I think another one of those cases where people remember the doll than the cop.
He was in The Sentinel. He was in Dog Day Afternoon. I remember him in that time. Guiding mm-hmm. Light.
Oh, I remember that.
I'm starting to think you're just a Chris
I
Sarandon
am.
Hater.
I actually, his appearance generally offends me. So <it's, laughs> he's incredibly.
But did you know his first wife, Susan Sarandon, got her big break when Chris brought her along on an audition?
Yeah. You mean when she, big break, you mean when she, like, put her boobs out in the movie Atlantic City?
I mean, that's not why that
that's
movie's
the only
famous.
Reason why that's who he's famous.
Not, wow, you see?
Because you had, what's his face, that old actor describe her, Susan Sarandon putting lemon juice, freshly squeezed lemon juice on her breast or something because she showered. Yeah, that's the only popular thing about that movie.
So, I remember the first time we reviewed uh-huh. this movie, I had to immediately talk about the first, like, 10 minutes being very confused because I was like, am I really watching an old man, like, beat up and assault, like, a young boy? Like, I thought it was, like a mm-hmm. schoolboy. But it was some college girl, we find out later, who is dressed kind of like a schoolboy.
Yes.
But there wasn't, like, any, like, direct images of her face or anything like that. Not like it's just, like, it was kind of daunting to see because she was shorter than this guy, and this guy already looked like he was short, and I was like, oh, what the fuck am I watching?
Because I think...
And then when they ripped open her shirt or whatever, I was like, oh my God, is this an illegal thing to watch?
I think also part of that is that she had a very masculine haircut. It was very short.
Yeah, maybe. Or like it felt like it looked a little too like
now if you
yeah, like when a young boy gets like a haircut, it's never like done well. Like maybe your hair grew out and it just looked kind of like bad.
If we were to compare it to nowadays, it's kind of like with you know, how do I say this? It would be like very short, almost like a pixie haircut.
Yeah.
What? What did I say?
You want to hear something kind
no,
of...
No, I want you to acknowledge what her hair looked like. That's what...
I thought it looked great. Everybody looks beautiful.
Okay, fine. Move on.
There might be a remake of Shivers coming out.
Okay, well, I don't want to watch it. No, I don't want to watch it. I'm good. I'm out.
But what if there's a bunch of penis slugs that turn people into sex maniacs? Think about it.
Now, it'd be cool if they made a TV movie. Like a whole, like, 6-7 episode.
Get on that Shutter.
Yeah, please.
No, yeah, so I remember that being daunting. I think we both agreed that the movie is kind of hard to follow until they kind of explain everything, like, midway through the movie of, like, what's going on, because it was like, mm-hmm. What the fuck? Like, one dude is, like, getting sick all the time. You find out that she is the first... She kind of got used, right, by that doctor without her knowing she was being infected with this, like, parasite that was supposed to, like, cure any ailments your body might have, but it just went wrong.
Made her.
And it turned into, like,
sexually sexually active. Yeah.
Like oversexed, yeah. Like a hypersexed, and she went and slept with like 3 or 4 other guys in the building, or and also at a different campus, I think is what I remember the guy saying. And of course, like it's like classic men jargon, where like, oh yeah, she was a whore, blah blah blah, or whatever. So it made me think at the end of this, there. You kind of make it suggest that, oh, this might be a bad ending, right? But regardless, within the first like 10 or like 20 minutes, you realize that the world is kind of fucked already.
Yeah. I rewatching it, I was thinking, it struck me that this is like basically Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I felt like almost every possession movie is kind of derivative of Invasion of the Body Snatchers,
except for the movie
Possession. Except for the movie Possession. So it kind of like takes kind of its premise from that. The fact that it's kind of set mostly in one area, which also has like a very like satirical skew towards like the time, which makes me think of like Night of the Living Dead. But with more of a cutting black humor, and
yeah, I think I also pointed out that there is no POCs in this movie again. Cronenberg,
it's Canada.
It's Canada. What do you expect?
Also, yeah, and the black humor comes from a lot of like the fact that the man who was infected that we're following in the beginning of this movie, as he's being infected, like vomits on these very, you know, older women who they get infected.
They're and being portrayed as very old.
Yeah, very
like just how old women are portrayed, like
comically.
Like, oh, let's go. Yeah. Whoa.
Done up like, to be.
Put my umbrella up for the sun, and it was like fucking see-through umbrella. Like it was a clear umbrella, so it wasn't blocking shit from the sun. Like, yeah. Oh.
So and then like there's a lot of like farting noises, there's like gas humor in this, and you know, so it's definitely like That's like kind of the, to me, the hints that like, oh, he's, you know, making fun of these type of people. And at least in the beginning, and then, you know, as it goes through closer to the end, when you see, we see more of the people being possessed, just like the, what is it, the mother and daughter take down that guy who's like a servant or something, or somebody that lives in the, the unit.
So what would be considered spoilers for this? Did I just spoil the whole fucking thing explaining?
No,
what the thing
I don't
was?
Think so. I mean, it's Amanda, right? No spoilers. let's go rogue.
All right, no, let's go into spoilers now.
Wait, no, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop, please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. All right, we left the queue open for the spoilers thing. And also, if you're worried about spoilers and you're listening to this, the movie's been out for like 50 exactly. years.
Yeah.
Like, get on it. No, it's been out for 48 years, so pretty close. I only know that I go off of my older brother's age. And I know this movie came out a year before him.
Yeah.
Which is wild because he's ancient. The mother and the daughter thing was a little weird because a bellhop who's infected is the one that assaults the little girl. Right? And then it cuts to the security guard that has the gun, and then that's where like our hero, the blonde what's his name, our homeboy from Salem's Lot,
R.I.P. it wasn't him, by the way, it's some other guy.
Other dude, but like he had a very similar look. Gets the gun to try to like get out of there, I guess. I'm not sure why they can't get out of the building. A through line for the story is they are doubling up this place to be an experimental building for something, right?
Yeah.
And the only way they can privately fund their own stuff is if they start selling it to yuppies, right? The condos.
Yeah, because they're trying to like, they're trying to make like a new breed of parasite, I think is what it's known or something. This corporation as sort of a new psychological treatment or something. I think I remember them talking about, which is another.
I kind of remember it was also like the, if you had something wrong with you inside your body, the parasite would go and kind of fix it by. Acting as the organ or something.
Yeah, I think it's, again, making that argument, like, is this necessarily a bad thing? It's terrible because the idea of, like, losing who you are to this parasite is terrifying. But it also...
Yeah, because it just took over specific organs, sex organs. So it did work, technically.
Right.
They weren't wrong. They fucking... broke through medical science walls.
They just wanted to take over the world or whatever, right? You can almost the same case. It's this,
yeah, by fucking one person.
Almost the same plot as Videodrome. What's the difference?
I thought you were gonna say Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and I was like, no, that movie's fucking boring. There wasn't one Bonin-a-thon moment in that movie.
Which version? Invasion of the Body.
Escape. Oh, yeah, which one?
There's literally hundreds, thousands of this movie.
Yeah. I always default to the
Nicole Kidman. That's
in my opinion the only good one.
I prefer the Leonard Nimoy version, actually. I think that one has merit.
Oh, okay.
But the Donald Sutherland one is the one I remember the most because it's the one that came out when while we were both young.
I mean, I'd argue before we were born, but
yeah. No, didn't it come out in the 90s? Isn't there a 90s version? Or is that one of the...
There is a Donald Sutherland's version, in it. But the Donald Sutherland one was 1978. Oh, you know what? You're right. He did come out in the remake one, and then he did the same exact thing where he was the bad guy, right? Or he became... He was infected by the end.
Nimoy was the bad guy in the 78 version.
He was this one also had Jeff Goldblum. Donald Sutherland was like the main person with Veronica Cartwright. Remember, it's a classic, very, very classic moment at the end of the movie where I forgot who was left alive at the end, but she realizes that Donald Sutherland has been infected. And Donald Sutherland just starts to point at her and starts like opening his mouth going, "Oh!" And then that's the way the movie ends, because you're like, oh shit, he's fucking gone too.
Yeah.
And that is Shivers.
So.
But yeah. There's that part where the security guy with the gun, is trying to get into the elevator, and he sees the orderly guy. I think he shoots him. He sees the mom, and then they are able to like subdue him. And then the little girl gets on top of him and starts to like put her mouth to his mouth, but then they quickly cut away. Right. It doesn't linger too long. Cause I was like, holy shit, this movie's going
In research, this, was the most financially successful Canadian film of all time upon its release.
Nice.
So.
I will say there are a couple of moments where they have fake outs, like Lynn Lowry, who played Nurse Forsyth. Like, he's talking on the phone with this guy who is a colleague of the doctor. And he's like, yeah, it kind of makes people... like overset or hypersexual and blah blah blah, they can't contain blah blah blah. So if you see anything weird, and Nurse Forsyth's like getting naked in front of him, but she wasn't infected yet.
No.
Then she does get infected, and she's trying to kiss him, so he just like rips off a part of his clothing and like grabs her face with it. Like, that's gonna help or whatever. And then there's a part with Suzanne Petrie, who played Janine Tudor, goes over to Beth's apartment, which we got to talk about this photo again, because I think it's amazing.
Describe it.
She is looking very 70s, very hippie style 70s. And then you'd like to focus on how beautiful she is, except there is... Let's start with the shelving unit. There's a bunch of books. A bunch of weird dressing. There is some sort of doll with what I can looks sort of like a violin. It's all white. And then, you know, Barbara Steele's character is a drunk already. And if that wasn't enough, they have a bunch of empty bottles on the top of the shelf and part of the second shelf. And if that wasn't enough to convince you she has a problem with alcohol, she also has a paper mache, a yarn version of a woman with big hips and really big calves and blonde hair and a coconut bra. And it's just hanging off of something. So I'm assuming they tried to cover something up and that was the best they could do.
Yeah. Woman, don't you have one?
It's brilliant. No, but I do want this t-shirt. So T-Fury, get on that. So my t-shirt of this. And if that wasn't enough to make that scene weird, the way Suzanne Petrie gets infected is Barbara Steele is already infected and seduces her, and they basically both get naked or whatever. And I was like, God, that's just disgusting. How foul. And I like rewatched that scene several times to dissect how disgusting it was. And also, shout out to Ronald Mladzik, our reoccurring experimental actor over there. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. It's like we have a reluctant hero only because he kind of got sucked into that building to meet up with somebody, right? To meet up with the doctor.
Yeah.
And he somehow becomes the hero, does not get away. He finally finds a way out because Barbara Steele and Suzanne Petrie are trying to seduce him to get into the water with them. Mm-hmm. And he's like, nah, fuck that. Like, there's hardly any dialogue by this point. And he runs out of the pool room. I mean, the room with the pool in it. And he's like, oh, time to get away. And then there's like a very, like the fog and demons, which these movies came out after, but I'm trying to give a visual of like the warriors where like people kind of appear out of nowhere, almost like shadowy. And then everybody that was in the building had all congregated outside for whatever reason. That's what sex crazed people do. They throw Burning Man festivals outside of their building and they all try to attack him. And he's like, oh, like he's basically stuck and has to run back into the building, which is not true. I feel like he could have just ran one way or the other as fast as he could and gotten away.
Yeah.
But he got because some horny old man was laughing and pulled his leg and pulled him into the pool.
Yep.
That's it. Then they all fucked him until he was full of slugs.
They shivered.
they made him shiver. And then one by one, they all went out of the parking garage to go
live a happy life.
Sex up the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool ending. Dark ending. Which...
Dark and cool. But also, like I said, like the beginning suggests that there's already... The parasite's already been spreading because this doctor infected this college girl with...
Yeah, and she was not... It only... Because I guess the idea there is, I guess because she was a college student, she was more promiscuous. On top, you know, plus it made her more promiscuous too.
Yeah. I'm going to guess, like, she... I don't know. We didn't know anything about her life before that moment. I think it was like a clever move to make it like, oh, it's a college girl, so she's going to be promiscuous, so they can just write it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were wrong. Now they're all promiscuous. And this is exactly the movie the government needs to prove their points about no sex ever.
Yeah.
Unless you're a politician, no
all
sex.
All through Canada, ever. They would show this to middle school kids.
Epstein didn't come from.
Don't have sex, kids. You see this movie.
Don't have sex. You see how happy they are? You don't want any of that shit.
Try to hit the pods and get some hockey in.
It's a lot of sex going on there, eh? Better stay clear of that one.
Alrighty. Do you have any thoughts before we rate this movie?
No. And I think I'm going to give it
a score. Okay, I don't remember my score, so it's going to be a fresh score. I have fresh eyes on this movie. So, alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Cronin and Bonathon's installment of Shivers 6.9696969696969 sexy spooky.
Damn.
Bones.
That's sexy. I'm going to give it.
Otherwise, I would give it like a 7.
Yeah, I was going to say like 7.5. Not quite an 8, but
yeah,
good. Significant, his first feature, definitely worth a watch. I don't think we've seen, in my opinion, I don't think I've seen a Cronenberg movie that it was at least interesting. So,
yeah, extend.
That's true. Scratch that. I'll give that movie another chance. I didn't much care for Crimes of the Future in retrospect after watching it. Wasn't into it. Interesting, but kind of boring.
Yeah, I didn't catch that one.
All right, we did it. We redid it, John. So
we did it. We finally finished the Cronin and Boninathon.
We're all boned out, guys. Yeah. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky and keep on Cronin and Bonin. Good night. Signing off.